You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
John Osborne's so-called kitchen sink drama, Look Back in Anger, marked a turning point in the history of British theater, the first time the lives of ordinary working-class people were at the center of a play. It's being revived by the Roundabout Theater at the Laura Pels on West 46th Street in a new production directed by Sam Gold and starring Matthew Rhys as Jimmy Porter, the original angry young man. And I'm pleased to welcome both of them to our show today. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Sam, you've directed some of the most acclaimed new plays of the past few years. Seminar, which is now running on Broadway, Circle, Mirror Transformation, Tigers Be Still. Those are all new. What attracted you to this play? Is it something you've always admired?
Yeah, it's a play I've loved since I was a student, and Jimmy Porter is a character, sort of like Hamlet, that, you know, he's a truth teller in a world of that's gone bad, and it's just, you know, the kind of character that I've always responded to. And as a person who's makes my career mostly in brand new plays, this is a play that kind of, I think, inspired or made way for a lot of the new plays and the kinds of writers that I work with. So it was kind of like going back to the source of all the work that I've been interested in.
Well, I was surprised by the fact that, except for the cost of newspapers and a few other details, it doesn't feel all that dated.
No, I think it feels very, very relevant. And
you could see a relationship like this happening today.
Yes, a marriage.
Matthew, people in this country know you mainly from the TV series Brothers and Sisters, but this is your New York theater debut?
It is. And, you know, incredibly proud and happy to be doing it. But particularly, like Sam said, this play hit an enormous resonant chord for me when at a very early age. So, to be doing it as a New York theatre debut is dream come true.
Well, had you ever done it in England? You studied at RADA, did, I'm assuming, all the classics because you, the National Theatre, the Royal Shakespeare.
No, I missed it every time. There was sort of, there was a production of it in my year, which I wasn't included in. I was in another production, and then friends of mine did it at the National. So every time there was an opportunity, I missed the boat. And actually, at my ripe old age, I thought I'd missed it completely, but Mr. Gold gave me an opportunity.
You're Welsh, and your countryman, Richard Burton, starred in the 1959 film version with Mary Ure, who introduced the part, didn't she? Well, wasn't she the first?
She did it on
Allison?
Stage, yeah, and then went on to marry Osborne,
which I gather was almost as troubled and turbulent as
the
relationship in the play.
Mm.
Had you seen the film with Richard Burton?
Yes, that was primarily what my first introduction. My father introduced me to the film and the play at a sort of early teenage time in my life, and then, you know, as a consequence, introduced me to Richard Burton, which sort of, he said, you know, that's, I think, was a original spark of thinking, oh, maybe Welsh people can leave Wales and go and act.
And from what I hear, also wind up playing Richard Burton in a biopic. Is that true? Is that going to happen?
No, I think that's an incredible amount of hearsay and, you know, and talk at the moment. I know there's one in the works. That's just a pipe dream.
Sam, why is this play considered so important in the history of British theatre? How did it differ from what was being done in, well, this is about 56. So
yeah.
Was that the Noel Coward heyday?
So post-war British drama was mostly dominant by middle-brow, comedies. The way I think Osborne would say it is, you know, a lot of, you know, fancy people playing tennis, and he was actually an actor, self-professed, not a very good actor, who was learning a lot of these parts in the kind of standard British fare, and was really unhappy to see that his class and the kinds of people that he associated himself with were just not being represented on stage. And in America, we had had a lot of working class drama. We had Clifford Odets and Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams, and we had a real history of putting the working class on stage. But in England at the time, it wasn't happening as much. The class divide was greater, and his play really changed all that. It really it put a working class character at the center of a play and kind of exploded British drama at the time.
It's been called a kitchen sink drama, although there's no kitchen sink, at least in Andrew Lieberman's set. there is an ironing board that figures prominently in the action, and I've been told that when the play was first staged, audiences gasped at the sight of an ironing board on stage.
Yeah, you really hadn't seen a working-class character, and to see an upper-class woman, Allison, speaking with an upper-class dialect, standing at an ironing board in a run-down attic of a old Victorian in the Midlands, it was very shocking. It was a very shocking thing. People had not seen it on stage before, and that was something that really excited me to think about, making a piece of theater that really questioned what you're allowed to see on stage and how what's allowed to be on stage, what your expectations are when you come see a play, and what kinds of people and what kinds of situations are allowed on stage or should be explored on stage, and that got me really excited.
Well, when the play opens, we see Allison Porter ironing shirts. We assume they're Jimmy Porter, her husband's shirts. And he's reading a newspaper, and so is their friend, not just his friend, Cliff Lewis, but who's also his business partner. He's obviously educated because of his accent, and yet he has great resentment toward anyone who makes any money or comes from the upper classes. So was this something that was happening in England those days? People from the lower classes going to university and then having to find their way?
Yeah, I think post-war there was an incredible explosion of especially working-class men who were, for the first time, being college-educated, university-educated, but still finding themselves with nowhere to go once, leaving with an education, because the class system was so firmly still in place. It was an old boy network that they couldn't penetrate or break through. So, and Jimmy was one of those pioneers.
So he winds up with Cliff running a sweet stall. Mm-hmm. I assume that's a stall in some market.
Yeah, a candy stall.
What was the reaction to the play when it was originally produced on Broadway in 1957. It was nominated for a Tony, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it came to Broadway with a lot of celebration and a lot of excitement behind it. But it was the British production that came, and the production in Britain was a much more divided experience. I think when the play first hit London, people didn't know what to do with it, didn't know what to make of it. People thought, oh, this isn't even a play, or the lead character is so dislikable. Why would we ever want to see a play about him? It was. An unwieldy, difficult, new kind of play, and people reacted in a very divided way. Some people just truly didn't respond to it, and a few key people really defended it and put it on the map and got a lot of people excited. So when it came to New York, I think it came with a lot of that buzz and controversy and a lot of excitement. And then I think the producers on Broadway sort of capitalized on the sort of controversy side of it and got people to come see it, got people interested. And it wound up running on Broadway for a very long time.
Kenneth Tynan praised it. My guests are Sam Gold, the director of a new production of Look Back in Anger, which is currently at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street, and Matthew Rhys, who plays its main character. I can't necessarily call him its hero, Jimmy Porter. References made to Marlon Brando, and I wondered whether anyone compared it to Streetcar, only with Jimmy Porter being a kind of an intellectual bully in place of the more brutish Stanley Kowalski.
We've certainly had references. I've certainly heard.
Did Osborne ever say anything about that? Because it seems so obvious to me.
Did he?
He read it. He read Streetcar. He knows the play's indebted to it. I'd say the play is indebted to Streetcar and to Hamlet, and I think they're very conscious references for Osborne.
Hmm. There have been a few people afterwards who've drawn the sort of Kowalski reference, after seeing the play. So yes, I'd certainly agree.
Well, this has to be a difficult part for the actor playing Jimmy Porter, because he is a bully. He says these awful things, terrible things to his wife, who defends herself by just closing off. But that just drives him to say even more terrible things. And you still have to make him somebody who we don't totally hate.
Mm. I've never had a problem in justifying any of Jimmy's rants or tirades or what appears to be, in some ways, abuse, because I think it's born of a great frustration. As he says himself, you know, his anger stemmed from a very early age when he lost his father, so in such a difficult and adverse situation. I've never had a problem in that sort of justification of in playing him.
Allison, played by Sarah Goldberg beautifully, comes from an upper-middle-class background. She seems resigned to living in squalor and to his nasty outbursts. But our first question is, well, what does she see in Jimmy? Why would she have wanted to marry him?
I think these sort of class, this issue of class conflict is something that is maybe, you know, a harder thing to dig into in the States than it is in England, and it's something that was trying really, really hard to explore and get across. But imagine crossing class divide in such a huge way because you fall in love with somebody. You know, there's a love-hate relationship. You fall in love with them, but you also resent them, and there's a way where young love and the idea of falling in love and marriage and all the difficulties of that are sort of a parallel to the sort of politics of England at the time.
But I would think also this is a way of rebelling against her upper middle class parents.
Exactly.
She's leaving their controlling approach, although she's traded it in for Jimmy's controlling personality. Her friend Helen arrives and convinces Allison to leave Jimmy, but then it turns out she has ulterior motives.
Yeah, it's the sort of another great layer to this already incredibly complex dynamic, this sort of triumvirate that we begin the play with. You know, it's just sort of intensified with her arrival and her intentions.
So it goes beyond. First, we see this as a romantic triangle because Cliff obviously is attracted to Allison. And then in comes Helena, and we have a romantic what is
quadrangle.
It? Quadrangle.
Yeah.
Later.
The love rectangle.
At least one reviewer, Roma Torre of New York One, said that the play was so misogynistic it shouldn't be produced at all. What do you say to that?
I disagree for a fact. That's like turning your back on. That's like saying misogyny or some deem it in some ways as abusive. I don't. But that's like turning your back on that and saying it doesn't happen.
We couldn't produce a lot of Shakespeare
exactly.
If we applied those rules, could we?
Exactly. I think that's slightly ignorant in turning your back on certain elements of humanity that we should ignore. I don't think it is misogyny. I think, you know, it comes from a very real place with Jimmy, the frustration and communication. So I don't think that's the case.
Jimmy has to play trumpet. Did you have to learn?
I played the trombone as a young boy. So
you knew about embouchure.
Yes.
There was originally a fifth character in the play, wasn't there? Allison's father? Did you take that out?
Yeah, there were a series of trims to the play, the largest of which was a scene where Allison's father comes to get her. And I really wanted to concentrate on the marriage and answer the question that obviously didn't get answered in the right way for Roma Torre of, you know, why this is a codependent relationship and why they both have culpability and why they're in it together. And I really wanted to concentrate on the two of them. And that was some of the trims I made were helpful to focusing on their marriage.
Is this an open run?
No. When does it close? I don't
know. April 8th, we finish, apparently. No, we do. We do. We finish on
And then you April have to 8th. Go back to appearing on television?
I don't. I'm a free agent after that.
Sam, in looking over the work you've done recently, it's all drama. There was a time maybe 4 or 5 years ago when we were being told that drama wasn't going to make it in New York theater and that we were just going to see one musical after another. But something has happened. In fact, we're going through something of a golden age of drama.
I think everyone's always complaining that the theater is dying and there's no more drama. But I think everyone does that basically every season. I think there's a place for all of it all the time. People need to hear stories.
Look Back in Anger, starring Matthew Rhys, also with Adam Driver, Sarah Goldberg, and Charlotte Perry in the cast, is currently at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street, right off of 6th Avenue. My great thanks to Matthew Reese and Sam Gold for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.